visual aid, sorry you're leaving. Well, I wonder what that's about. Well, we're going to find out in just a minute or two. Today, as part of our service, we have baptized Grace Elizabeth McNamara. Splendid occasion. Grace is now fully recovered and fully perky again. Baptism in the Christian faith is about responding to Jesus as our Saviour and our Lord. And I just want to explore what that means. Steve and Sharon can relax, because I'm not going to ask them any questions. But you know, baptism is dangerous, because in baptism you get asked questions. We've had some questions already, which Steve and Sharon and godparents have answered, and also yourselves as well. There will be one or two more questions for you to answer. Faith in Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. And there are four things that I'm going to be looking at very quickly, you'll be glad to know, this morning. The first is, Jesus did many great things while he was on this earth. And I wonder if someone can tell me one of the things that he did. Oh yes, Alex. He did indeed. Say it again. Died on the cross. Thank you very much, Alex. Brilliant. You weren't listening the other day, were you, when I was coming round to see your parents? Well done. Very good. Good answer. Died on the cross. Give me something else. Oh, okay, change water to wine. Perform miracles, thank you. Yes, he did. He fed an awful lot of people. Another miracle. Something else. He healed people. Yes, he did. He healed people. Something else. Judith. You don't know Judith. Judith is a friend of ours. Judith is the venerable Archdeacon Judith Rose, former Archdeacon of Tunbridge. There you go. I won't embarrass you by asking the question, Jude. I noticed that you pushed it over to somebody else. Yes. He rose again. He did indeed. Thank you very much. Brilliant. He rose again from the dead. Is there something else, perhaps? These are all very good answers. They're all right, too. Okay? Excellent. He returned to heaven. He did indeed. Thank you, Margaret. Choir, anything else? He taught people. Well done, Celia. Glad you're back from holiday. About time, too. Great. Wonderful answers. Now tell me, of all those answers, which do you think was the most important thing that he did? Oh, Alex. Died on the cross. Oh, have a balloon. There we go. You can look after it and play with it. Were you going to tell me something else? What were you going to say? Okay, died on the cross. You are absolutely right. Of all the things that Jesus did, and we've heard some of them here, it was dying on the cross which was the most important thing. But why? You know, we have a cross. All Christian churches have crosses for that very reason, because it's the most important thing. I'm glad you came this morning, Alex. I tell you, I'm a bit worried about the rest, but you are brilliant, I tell you. They'll begin to think I've told you all the answers, won't they? Let's see if there's somebody else up here. Right. Why was that the most important thing? Yes. He died for our sins. Absolutely spot on. But how does somebody else dying for my sins do it? What? How does it work? I mean, you're all good people. Yeah, you've been brought up how, oh, Addy, I'm going to come to you in a minute. I'm going to save you in reserve, I tell you. We've all been brought up as good people. We're taught, you know, that if we do something wrong, we can expect to be punished in one way or the other. So how does Jesus dying on the cross do it for me? Surely I should be punished for my sins, shouldn't I? How does this work? Can someone tell me? Oh yes, okay, Alex, come on in. He did die for me, you're absolutely right. And he died for you too, and he died for your mummy and daddy and for all your aunts and uncles and friends and so on, and for Grace as well, and everybody else here and outside this church. But how does it work? You see, this is what baptism is about. This is what you're being baptized into. Let me tell you, it works like this. The Bible tells us that we've all fallen short of the standard which God was looking for in us. The way it puts it said, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And it goes on to say there's a really serious consequence to this. It says that the result of this is a very severe punishment. The result of the punishment is death. And the way the Bible puts it, it says the wages of sin, in other words, the reward, the payment of sin, is death. But God loves us. And God doesn't want us to die. So God chooses to take our punishment, death, himself. But God has a problem. God cannot die. God is immortal. So God takes human flesh. God becomes a human being, is born as a baby. At a point in our history, about 2,000 years ago, in the Middle East, and grows up as a young child, as a teenager, as a young adult, as a slightly mature adult, and around about the age of 33, he's put to death on a cross. And we know that's a historical fact, because many non-Christian historians record that fact. Not just Christian historians, but non-Christian historians of the time record it. So we know that Jesus was crucified. Fact. God, in human form, opts to take our punishment himself. That's how it works. But the second point is, the good news is resurrection. Death couldn't hold Jesus. And he rose again. And that's the empty tomb at Easter. And there are witnesses. Because he appears after he's been put to death and buried in the tomb. And they find the tomb empty on that first Easter Sunday morning. And then Jesus appears to various disciples. He appears first of all to Mary Magdalene. He appears to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We're told he appeared to Peter. And to 500 disciples at one time. To the disciples in the upper room. To the disciples by the lakeside. Have a fish barbecue with him. And for 40 days, there are these appearances of Jesus. But then the time comes for him to return to heaven. And so Jesus takes his disciples on one side because he wants to make sure that they have understood everything that has happened to him. And he explained why it was important for him to be crucified, just as we've had a much quicker look at it. He spent much greater time going through it. And to be raised from the dead. He also told them he was going to return to his Father in heaven, and that the Holy Spirit would come to be with them so that they could be his witnesses in the whole of the world. Now, at first, the disciples were sad that Jesus was leaving them. Alex, will you mind holding that for me? I'm trying to juggle too many things here. No, thank you. At first they were sad that Jesus was leaving them. That's understandable, isn't it? If someone tells you, especially someone who you really love, and someone that they're going to be going away, well, there's a sadness in that. But then the Bible tells us that Jesus opened their minds so that they would understand what was happening. And then an amazing thing happened, because the Bible tells us that Jesus lifted his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Oh. Can you imagine what it must have been like? What we're doing now, those disciples would have been doing exactly the same thing as they watched him go up and up, taken up into the clouds. And they're there looking, and they're like, "Why, can I? Is he still there? Is that little speck I can see? No, no, I think he's gone. Oh, dear. Is he going to come back? What's going to happen?" And as we heard in our reading this morning, while they were intently looking up, two men dressed in white appeared and said to them, "Men of Galilee, why are you looking up into the sky? This same Jesus, whom you saw go, will come back in the same way." They weren't to be holding on to the past, but to look into the future, into the present and into the future. Because Jesus promises, A, that the Holy Spirit is going to come and help them, which he does at Pentecost. And secondly, the promise is that he will return. We had that in both of our readings this morning. Jesus will come back again. Not to just a select little group, but so the whole world can see him. We have baptized Grace this morning. Baptized her into the faith of Jesus Christ as Saviour and as Lord, knowing that Jesus died for her and rose again for her. Knowing that according to his promises, if she puts her trust in him, then she will have eternal life. That's God's promise. And God's love. And God's grace. Baptism hangs first and foremost on God's love and God's grace. And secondly, on our response to that. I can slosh water around till kingdom come, and it won't make one scrap of difference unless there is that faith there in Steve and Sharon and all the godparents as well who are speaking on behalf of grace this day. But it also speaks to us as well in the same way. Jesus ascended to the heavens. That phase had come to an end, and now the Holy Spirit is going to come and fill them with power to be witnesses of Jesus Christ in the world.